When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Nancy Dannison back with us, writer, retired healthcare lawyer, former litigator, and a very prestigious 270 attorney regional law firm. That's big. A licensed private pilot, former licensed private investigator. She holds a BS degree, magna cum laude, in the double majors of chemistry and biology, a BA degree, magna cum laude, in psychology, and a doctorate in jurisprudence. Answers from the Afterlife is one of her books that came out in 2016, and her latest one is called Create a New Reality, Move Beyond Law of Attraction Theories. Nancy, welcome back. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, George? I'm so excited to talk with you again.
Well, you have so many degrees. My gosh. Congratulations.
Thanks. I love learning. I've continued to learn my whole life.
My soon-to-be 21-year-old granddaughter has her private pilot's license and just got her commercial license.
Oh, yay.
That's pretty good.
That's really an accomplishment. And for a woman to do it, I mean, when I was flying, there were so few women pilots that when I came into an airport, the guy on the mic would say in the control tower, say, "Hi, Nancy."
I love it. Well, she probably won't have any problem getting a job when she graduates from school, will she?
I don't think so.
There's a shortage of pilots out there.
There is, and I'm just so thrilled to have another woman pilot out there.
That's great. So anyways, tell us about yourself. What have you been up to over the last year or 6 months?
Pandemicking.
Hiding?
Panicking and pandemicking. I'm writing a new book. I am trying to explain in my new book the differences among the various categories of near-death experiencers and why there's really no research published by the academicians on people like me who spent a long time in the afterlife. Like, the categories of near-death experiences range from someone who just got out of body and never really left the physical environment. That's called a near-death experience, if they were near death. And then there are people who get out of body and go into the light.
Mm-hmm.
I call that an afterlife experience.
And you've had three of those.
I've had three of those. And the people who go into the light, 99% of them never really escape human thinking. They aren't in there long enough to transition back to their natural spiritual way of thinking. So everything that they report about the experience makes heaven sound just like earth, only better. And then there's a small category of people like me, and there are others like me, who are in the afterlife long enough to escape the human way of thinking and to escape religious beliefs and to see information pristinely as source, what we call God, presents it.
If you're going to have one of these, Nancy, do you prefer to have the afterlife experience or the near-death experience?
I would prefer to have the afterlife experience, but I don't recommend dying to anybody. It's really not good for your health.
We don't want that at all, but coming back is not all bad either, right?
Yeah, it can be.
Really?
Can I tell you my favorite near-death experience story about coming back.
Absolutely. Now, did this happen to you or somebody else?
No, it was somebody else. It was a guy who was reporting at one of the International Association for Near-Death Studies national conferences, and he said that, you know, he died, and I don't remember how he died, and he went into the afterlife, and he met Jesus, and Jesus said, you know, it's time to come home. And the guy asked him, well, can I bring my genitals? And Jesus said, no. He goes, okay, never mind, I'll go back.
Keep it clean. Keep it clean, Nancy.
Well, I was clean, wasn't I?
Yeah, I think so. It's that you were on the line, but that's as clean as you can get.
It was a medical term.
That's it. Medical terms work. But, you know, these near-death experiences, these afterlife experiences, what does that tell you about life itself?
I think, is absolute proof from millions of people, thousands of which have told their stories on the internet and are easily accessible, that life continues after death of the body. Consciousness continues. Our personality is eternal. We don't lose anything at death except the flesh.
So and when you fall asleep, to me, it's almost like dying, because unless you remember your dream, there's nothing there. I mean, that's it until you wake up again. So for 6-8 hours, you're lying in bed, and you're basically dead, even though you're alive and breathing, obviously. But, I mean, isn't death a little like sleeping?
Not at all.
It isn't.
At least not the way I experienced it with dying, you don't have that lack of consciousness. You don't have that blackness, that forgetfulness. You're still awake. And you remember everything. You know, you're conscious and you're.
Do you see your body while this is happening? Your physical body?
I did, and I think a number of other people do too.
You kind of like get out of it or something, right?
Yes, you get out of it, and you can look back and see it and go, oh.
Do you know what's going on?
I think that if you are in an accident or you are very ill and you have some reasonable belief that you might die, then I think you do. But see, with me, I had no idea I died. It took a long time for me to figure that out because I never lost consciousness. I never saw blackness. I never, you know, nothing changed. I was still alive exactly the way I'd always been.
How did these three experiences happen to you? What happened?
The first one was during what's called a needle localization procedure, which is where a radiologist sticks a needle with a wire inside of it into a breast tumor.
Okay.
To mark it for the surgeon. And I had anaphylactic reaction to
the
local anesthetic. And my blood sugar dropped way low. And the two of them together just killed me.
And they didn't check that. They should have. My God.
Well, I kept telling the radiologist, you know, symptoms that I think she should have recognized as anaphylaxis.
You felt it coming on, didn't you?
Oh, I did for a long time, yeah.
How did they pull you out of that one?
They didn't. I came back spontaneously because I was assigned a mission to tell everyone who would listen what had happened to me and what I'd learned in the accident.
All right, we'll get into that mission. How about the second one?
The second and third ones were quote, command appearances before the council of spiritual beings that were monitoring my mission.
Was it one of those, she's back?
It was like that. And the first time it was, she's back and she's not doing the job. And I felt kind of like I'd gotten a spiritual smack up the side of the head because I wasn't telling people about my near-death experience. I was afraid to. And then the third one, I was told that my body was dying and that I still hadn't completed my mission, but they wouldn't hold it against me. But I had to decide, do I want to come home, no harm, no foul, that I didn't complete my mission, or did I want to go back to Nancy's body? And if I went back to the body, my body and I, would suffer for the rest of her natural life. And so I said, oh, pick me for the suffering, you know, let's send me back, let's have the pain. No, actually, I came back for two reasons. One is I wanted to see what was going to happen because, you know, I'd seen the future in my first afterlife visit, and I wanted to see if that's what was going to happen. And the other one was I felt really bad that I hadn't completed my mission. And I'd never failed like that before.
Well, by coming back the way you did, was that your decision or someone else's?
The first time, I'm not sure. You know, I kept saying mentally, somebody ought to tell those people down on Earth, you know, what I just learned. And next thing I know, I'm coming back into the body, you know, this like whirlwind of almost like wind. And I was saying over and over, I didn't mean me. Somebody's got to tell them, but I didn't mean me. And then the second two times, I chose to come back.
Now, you were showing future realities. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I think the biggest one was that Earth history is divided into what I was told are three epochs. And there were extremely few actual words used during my afterlife experiences. And one of them was epoch. Only it was pronounced epoch.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's because I didn't know the word or what. But I was shown, you know, that the first epoch was when, you know, dinosaurs roamed the earth and, you know, that one ended. We're in the second one now. And then there's a third one coming. And it's, you know, it's not like tomorrow, but we are in the transition to the third epoch. And what I was shown was that most of the human population will die off. By choice.
By choice?
Every soul will be given the opportunity to decide, do you want to stay on Earth and try to help get through the transition from inside a body, or do you want to come home where you have a lot more power and try to help with the transition from spiritual life?
Will this all be done at the same time?
No, we're in it now. We're in this transition now, and that's why so many people are dying from, well, COVID.
And everything else, yeah.
And all the natural disasters and wars. And.
But I don't think that they're making that decision to leave, are they?
Well, the body certainly isn't, but the soul is.
So you think that these people in their dying process, when given the opportunity and the choice, they elect to stay on the other side?
Yes. Each soul upon incarnation or before incarnation decides on an exit strategy. And, you know, because, you know, we know when we come into living flesh that it's going to die eventually. So we know there's going to be a death, and we get to kind of pre-plan what that's going to be. And we can change that plan, you know, as we go along. But yes, souls are aware, and you've seen it in people who are dying. You know, they are ill and aren't dying, but they know they're going to die. But the soul kind of plans for that and decides.
Interesting take.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts. It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Is he breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, you saw visions of another war?
No, I didn't see like a world war. But in this transition, you know, there are a number of wars. And, of course, you know, the Ukraine war would be one of them.
Sure.
Because that's one of the scenarios in which souls can choose, you know, to stay or to go. But I did not see any nuclear war.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
If there had been one, would you have seen it in
I
the
would
future?
Have seen it. Now, the question, George, is would I remember it? Because when I was coming back into my body, I was trying to memorize as much as I could. But when we're inside these bodies, we're stupid. I mean, we're dumber than a bag of rocks. We can't hold the intelligence, the knowledge, the information that we can while we're in the afterlife. So I could feel all this information just like slipping away from me, and I couldn't grasp it. So I remember, you know, like sometimes I'll remember one sentence about a topic. Sometimes I'll remember enough for a book, like manifesting when I wrote my book, Create a New Reality. So I think I would have remembered because it's such a significant event. But on the other hand, I didn't think I was coming back to Earth. So I didn't really care what the future was.
You thought this was it for you? You made the transition?
Yeah. I was done. I was home.
How much time are you gone, Earth time? Is it just seconds, minutes, hours, weeks? What is it?
It was minutes. It was long enough for the radiologist and radiation
To revive
technician.
You?
No, they left the room and left me alone and went and developed the last set of films. I think we were like 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 sets of mammography films trying to get the needle in the right place. And they took a break. And when they came back, they'd been in the room for a little while before I came back into the body.
So you basically had that afterlife experience while they were gone. You basically died while they were gone.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And we're guessing maybe 10, 15 minutes.
And the brain was without oxygen that long?
Yes. And my first MRI after I came back showed extensive
damage.
Damage in the white matter region. Don't go telling people I got gray matter damage. I probably have some of that, but most of it was in the white matter region. And like I lost like whole bodies of information. Like before I died, I could speak passable French. Nothing now.
Nothing.
I can play the piano. Nothing now.
That's gone. Wow.
I can multitask. I do well to do one task at a time now.
Has they say the brain doesn't regenerate cells. I'm not sure about that.
No, I think current science is that brain cells do regenerate.
Yeah, they used to say no, but I think they do.
But, you know, the brain only runs the biology, the mechanics of the body. There's no intelligence stored in the brain.
Have you ever had a past life regression or anything like that?
I tried, and I thought at the time that I had seen past lives, but when I actually saw them in the afterlife, because like during my life review, you know, while Nancy's life was replaying in the life review, I'm saying to myself, oh, I've been there, done that. I got back memories of all the other physical lives I'd lived, hundreds of thousands of them all over the universe. And that, compared to what I thought I was getting in this past life regression, no comparison. You know, the information that I got in that past life, completely false. what I got in the afterlife was true, and I remembered every single moment of every single life. And so I learned through that experience, and also by receiving information in the afterlife, that there's no such thing as a past life regression. Those memories that are brought back aren't really from past lives. The soul is like a recorder. It's a audio, video, emotional recorder. It records every single moment of life, everything you think, everything you feel, everything you dream, and can't tell the difference between, you know, what you see in a movie versus what you actually do in life. It's all there, recorded by the soul. And so when you get out of body, and I think during past life regression, you might have an experience of kind of getting out of body, at least partway, and the soul is free to generate its memories, you can pick up all kinds of stuff. But it's just from the soul's recorder, not from actual life.
In the afterlife, do you experience things that you are glad or that you wish you never did?
Both, during the life review. Now, the afterlife experience itself is wonderful. I mean, it's just incredible. It's blissful. It's loving. It's accepting. It's more than you could ever imagine heaven being like. But the life review, when you're soul was playing back that recorder of everything that you had done and seen and heard and thought and dreamed and felt while you're in this particular body, that captures the good and the bad. And you not only see from your perspective what you did that you would have considered bad, but you get to feel it from the perspective of everybody else who participated in the event. So if you hurt somebody, you will feel their pain during your life review.
It's like karma.
Well, I think it's a lot more
direct.
Yeah, and immediate. And so all those people that worry about, you know, Hitler and never being punished, well, he's relived all of that horror. Every single one of those people suffering and their death and their angst, relived it all during his life review.
Interesting. Did you see angels on the other side?
I saw what I was calling energy beings. And then after I got back and started writing my books, I realized that other afterlife experiencers called them beings of light. So I started calling them beings of light. There aren't really any angels, but I think what people think are angels are these beings of light, because they can take on any appearance they want, or no appearance at all, just light.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.